Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Good week? Beautiful day today. Man, it's nice out there. Let me see. How about we're going to turn to the overhead here and get started, I think. And we're going to sing, I Lift Your Name on High. Well, maybe we will, maybe we won't. Am I supposed to do it?
There you go.
I got it. Here we go. Time for me to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the beautiful day, Lord. The sunshine, the blue skies, Lord, the fresh green is everywhere that we see, Lord. Thank you for new life, Lord, especially new life in Jesus Christ, Lord. Those of us that know him as Savior, thank you, Lord, for the precious blood he shed for us. Thank you for that he came to be my sacrifice and ours, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the folks that showed up today. Thank you, Lord, for our nation. Pray for it, Lord. I just ask that somehow, some way, our leaders might turn to you, Lord, for answers they need and guiding our nation. Many problems we have, Lord. But, Lord, we have you. You're in control, Lord. You are a truly sovereign God, Lord. Nothing will happen without your say-so first. Lord, our pastor's going to preach today. Guide and direct him, Lord. Make him powerful today, Lord, for you, for what you have on his heart, Lord, to bring forth to us to hear today. May it touch us, Lord. May it give us something to use in our daily Christian life. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see. One more here. In the hymnal, which one is it? The very first one, A? Is it A or B? The A. Okay. We're going to sing, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Here we go. Let's sing it through twice, okay?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son.
Let's see, page 52. 52, please.
Father, through Jesus the Son, give him
Tonight at 6 is our evening service, exploring God in His names. Don't forget about that. Show up, you'll be blessed, I'm sure. There's going to be a stand-up business meeting this morning. Deacon and trustee meeting on the 25th. Pastor's going to tell us the time. Women's Bible study is May 23rd. Check with Sandra on the time there. Personal evangelism is scheduled for May 30th at 6. Our services for the week are as follows. Wednesday, prayer and Bible study at 7, Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning 9:30 a.m. Worship service is 10:40, and our Sunday evening service at 6. Pastor, soft of the week, no matter how hard you try, whatever you do, you cannot be someone you're not. Interesting. Guys that come forward, we'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you for these songs that we get to sing, Lord, just praising your name for what you do and have done for us, Lord. We cannot ever outgive you, Lord, but we're going to try to give a small portion back to you today. Be with those that are considering, Lord. Just be with the gift and the givers who do so. In Jesus' name, amen. Jason's going to play.
Good morning, everyone. Jaden, if you can control the sound for me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. From Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.
Gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I know I'm not forsaken. For by my side, the Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing. For in my need, His power is displayed. To this I hold, the Shepherd will protect me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Though the night has been won, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me. No fate I dread, for I know that I'm forgiven. The future sure, the price it has been paid. For Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon. And He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released. I can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus. For He has said that He will bring me home. And day by day, I know He will renew me. Until I stand with joy before His throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Jason, that's a great challenge this morning. Lord bless you for reminding us of that. Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful day it is, a late spring morning. God's glory fully manifested in His creative work this morning. I trust that His redemptive glory is also displayed in your life today. And Jason, I appreciate that today. It is all about Jesus and what He is doing through us. We realize, again, though, that on this side of eternity, as we operate in the flesh, we struggle. We struggle with issues here on earth that affect the human heart and the human life. But I'm just praying for a while here this morning we can focus on Jesus and what He will do through you. And I want to again say this, that Jesus invites you today. If He is not alive in your life today as your personal Savior, He is there to come into your life today if you'll ask Him. He's there to love you and forgive you and be with you throughout all eternity if you'll invite Him in. And if you're struggling today as a born-again believer, He is there today to renew His love and empowerment in your life. Maybe it's grown cold. You've allowed it to grow cold. He's ready to invigorate that day, to reinvigorate that. And so He wants to walk with you today, and He wants a great day for us as we look into His Word and look Him in the face today as well in our lives. I want to welcome everyone once again, and also we're glad for anyone that might be visiting with us today. Everyone is always welcome to come through these doors at Fruitland. We do love people here, and as you see on our sign, and this is not just a sign tagline, but we are interested in our community because this is where God has placed us, and He's given us a mission field primarily right around this church in the community where we exist. And it also branches out all across the world through missionaries that we have called to take that effort further beyond our borders here, but we have a big mission field right here in Fruitland and the surrounding area, and I pray today that God will cause us to be effective laborers in that harvest. Before we go to prayer today, I also want to remind us that Mrs. Marilyn Loving passed into eternity this last week, and for some of the old-timers here, we've known Marilyn for many years, and she had suffered in the last 6 months or so acutely of the maladies of maturity. I want to say old age, but she had struggled and suffered, and I'm thankful that the Lord took her, that He spared her any further suffering. But we will miss her, and so be reminded of her today. She used to usually sit right up here with Marlene Linder back in the days, and I went to school with her kids, and Kim did too, of course, but for part of the time. But we'll miss her. She was a sweet lady, and she went into eternity this past week. Well, this morning, our message is the starting point for a short series on exploring God's rules for the two sexes. And it's one of many reasons today that we live in troubled times in our nation and in our world. So there's many things that God has for us to get right. We live in a world filled with confusion, but God is not confused, and God has given us the orders and the orderliness of His creative work, and it'll be profitable for us if we get that right. So we'll be exploring that in the next few weeks. Also, at the end of our service this morning, there will be a brief stand-up business meeting. I will briefly open that as we close in prayer today, and then I will meet you if you cannot stay. Anyone's welcome to stay for the meeting, but I wouldn't. It's boring unless you're interested. But seriously, it's not a big issue, but it's just an item of business that we need to get settled before the middle of the week. Anyway, with that said, welcome once again. I don't know if we even stood up today, did we? Does anyone need exercise? Well, let's stand up a minute. Let's clap some hands and get the blood flowing. We're going to sing, "This is the Day That the Lord Has Made." This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And with that said, you may have a seat. We're going to take just a few minutes here now to quiet our hearts before I have a pastoral prayer. But let's, in that few moments, let's draw close to the Lord this morning and ask Him again to enter into our pathway of thinking this morning and our reception of the word, but also let's worship him in spirit and in truth and let him know that we love him. Take just a few minutes personally to do that, and then we'll open with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, today as we approach your throne of grace and mercy on the basis and merit of your Son, Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day that you've given us. And Lord, help us to rejoice and be glad in this time of this day of your grace and mercy that you've given us. Father, help us to lift you high, to lift your Son, Jesus Christ, high, and the personality of the Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian God of the Bible. Lord, you are beyond comprehension in our human finite minds. But we accept by faith, Lord, the awesomeness of who you are. And today, Lord, we bow before your throne and acknowledge you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we thank you today for the gathering called the church. It's the day for encouragement. It's the day to celebrate new life, your resurrection, Lord. It's the day to draw close to you at the beginning of a new week and to come among fellow believers, Lord, and to be a blessing to them as they are a blessing to us, as we help one another, Lord, in our weaknesses and infirmities as we walk through this thing called life together. Now, Lord, again today, we consider the events of this past week. We think about the homegoing of Mrs. Loving. And Lord, we realize that life on this earth is short. Even at a lengthy amount of years, it's a very short time in regard to eternity. And we thank you, Lord, that you have designed the human soul for eternity. And your wish and your desire is that it would be present with you throughout all eternity. But we know this today, Father, because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Mankind is not doomed. It's not destined for a place in heaven apart from you, but it's doomed and destined for a place of punishment because of our sin nature, Lord, in a place called hell. So I thank you today and I rejoice that there's a place called heaven. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get there but through you. But you're willing that all should be saved and go to heaven, have their sins forgiven, and be in a personal walk with you. And you love us dearly, Lord. I pray today for one that might be here who is apart from you, Lord. Either one who is already a believer, has been saved, but Lord may be struggling in their walk. But also for one here today who may be wondering about all these things, about our eternal destiny. And Lord, that this would be the day that they would be called by the Holy Spirit to be saved, to relinquish their sins and the things of the flesh, Lord, and come to you and drink of the things of the Spirit and be born again as a new life in Jesus Christ. We pray to that end today. Lord, we pray for those today that may be struggling in many other areas. We know that we have people that are missing from our flock here today. People might be on vacations. They may be ill. Lord, we know we have many things that afflict and are part of the good things that humans do. But Lord, we pray that you would help them wherever they may be today. And for our community, Lord, that people here would see Fruitland Baptist Church as a place that cares and is concerned about those that live around us. Lord, help us to be effective in our spreading of the seeds of the gospel wherever we are sent and wherever we exist. Now, Lord, I need your help today. I am weak, but you are strong. I have to count on you, Lord, to see these things effected in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray today, Lord, the Spirit would speak to hearts today, that we would understand the day that we live in, but, Father, understand that we need not get negative or not have hope, because, again, through you, all things are possible. And that's the God that I believe we serve, Lord, and I want to serve. Everything is possible through you. Now again, empower the speaking today and connect the preaching, Lord, with the hearts of the people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends in Christ, today and in the near future, following next Sunday's Memorial Day message, I hope to focus on the biblical roles and mandates for the two sexes. We live in a time ruled by confusion. Does everyone agree with that? And confusion does not come from God. I want to assure us all today, God is not confused about anything. But man is, and Satan is the catalyst for confusion in our world. He's the author of confusion, and he is God's adversary, and his name is Satan. 1 Corinthians 14:33 speaks to this precisely, to the church in Corinth that struggled with confusion internally. And let's face it, folks, let's call it the way it is. We struggle with many issues that can cause us to be confused. But I believe this, if we will look deeply into God's Word, He will answer those things that we're confused about with study. But this is what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that was a very confused church. He said, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints." And so we know that Satan is the author of confusion, meaning the directives of God should afford peace, not confusion, in the church. We should be solidly, again, grounded in God's Word, which causes us to have peace. Can I ask us today, how many of us are truly at peace? You know, Kim and I remarked the other day, our lives are turmoil. I know that ours are, and I know that yours are as well. It's not because maybe things that we have done to ourselves, but in many cases we cause our own peace to be disrupted. But the world that we live in today causes us to run around like a bunch of chickens with our heads cut off. Do any of you feel like that? That it's just one thing after another that we have to be involved in to get through this thing called life. There's more bills to pay, more hoops to jump through than there's ever been. And I believe with all my heart that it affects our ability to have peace. You know what? There are people that are not here this morning because of the lifestyle that we live today. I'm not condemning those people. But there is such a hecticity, and that is not a word you'll find in a dictionary, it's my own. But there is such a hecticity to our life that peace is threatened at every moment. And we operate very much by having to watch the clock on the wall. That's the world we live in today. It's the world that is ripe for Satan to work in. When our hearts are grounded in peace, Satan has a much harder time penetrating that shell of peace that's given to us by the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the directives of God should afford peace and not confusion in our churches. A confused church and its people bring no glory to God. And by the way, and that's what we're here for, folks. We're here to bring Him glory. It brings no glory to God and reinforces the work of Satan. God's people must be grounded in what pleases God, not man. How do you respond to that? How do I respond to that today? I've already admitted to you, I struggle in these areas. It's not that I want to please man, but for some reason, there seems to be a lot of hoops that we have to jump through to keep our government, the rules and regulations that we have, fulfilled. And it takes a lot of energy and drains us. But we need to please God and not man. Failure to know and receive the directives of God yields confusion and every evil work, according to the Apostle James, who says in James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's what flows from confusion. We live in confusion and troubled times for many reasons because of our fallen nature, which is corrupt. Only the Word of God can direct our belief and behavior to be modified to please God. It is not all about the roles of the sexes and gender issues in our day that cause this confusion. But I do believe this, folks, it is a great part of it right in this time. Things that have been accepted for years, decades, and millennia are being challenged in our current environment. I might remind us that God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. And so we will look not so much today into those roles, but I'm setting the standards here and the basis for what we will explore in a couple of weeks down the line about the roles and the rules that God has for the sexes. Be prepared to have our eyes opened about some of these things and the power of them, and how when we will look into the Word and let the Spirit govern our lives, these things all fit together. By the way, when we study the Word of God, if we study it deeply, we find that it complements itself and it brings glory to God. And it will give us, again, what we are looking for, peace in the Prince of Peace that passes all understanding. I believe this, again, it's not all about the roles of the sexes and gender issues in our day, but they are certainly a part of what is going on. I might just turn us quickly to Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32, for a little reminder of what the Apostle Paul told the church at Rome, the believers at Rome. He gave them a warning about some of these very issues. And by the way, it's not just about the gender issues that we see today in front of us. It's about many things. But here's the danger of these things that Paul warned about, starting in verse 24 of chapter 1 of the book of Romans. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He is talking here about people that reject the rules and the order that God has given for the sexes and how we handle our bodies. Who changeth the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, what we are seeing in our day, full-blown, and it's not just in America, but around the world, it is where the creature, the people, have put themselves first, and they've placed God somewhere out in left field and rejected Him. And said, I am God, I will do what I want, when I want, I have the authority and power over my body to do as I choose. There it is, stick it to you, God, I'll do it my way. That's the culture and the way we are today. We have put more emphasis on the creation, meaning ourselves, than we have on the Creator. Folks, that is one of the main rules. God is number one. Excuse me. Interesting enough, many of you remember the little acronym from Joy Club, and this is something that would do us all good to think about this morning. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. If we get that little rule straight, and that is really how God's Word flows, if we give Him glory first, place others in our path of concern next, and ourselves last, we'll find that we'll have the elements there that will cause us to have a life of peace. Verse 26, this is where it's dangerous. For this cause, when people reject God long enough, God gives them up. And He says, do it your way. I'm not going to force you to do it my way. You do it the way you want to do. But here's the results of that. He gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. God says, you want to go that direction? You don't want to come to me? You'll have to take the path that you've chosen. But it's a path of destruction. It's a path that has been led to by confusion and the rejection of what God would have us to do. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, He's out, way out, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is a mind that is morally unprincipled, destined for judgment, damnation. That's the kind of a mind. God will allow you to go that way. Again, if that is a choice you make. I do not believe He will let a believer do that, though, without kicking and screaming, with the Holy Spirit trying to convict you, trying to stop you. And ultimately, for the believer, I believe there, what the Bible teaches, there is a sin unto death. God will only let His believers go so far. And He'll say, I love you so much, I'm not going to let you hurt yourself any further. I'm taking you back home, you know. I really believe that, and I'm not going to let you hurt others. God loves us, folks, But God wants us to understand the order of things as He has designed it. And when we get outside of that order, we place ourselves in a dangerous position. Those that He lets go are the non-believers that reject Him. And even yet, His call goes out. The Holy Spirit may still be calling people to be saved, but they reject Him. He has made that appeal to the hearts of people. So, through 32, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. This is a chapter right out of our current world, and always has been. It's when people again have opposed the ways that God has designed for man to operate. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. Implacable means an irrevocable mindset. Hard-headed, unmerciful, and verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Folks, that's the state of our confused world today. In general, whatever sin we want to dismiss as sin that we commit has a degenerative effect on our relationship with the Lord as Christians, and a contribution to confusion of others around us and to the blessings of God upon us. God warned Israel of the ramifications of confusion about God's will, and it is extended in the New Testament to the Christian and the church regarding obedience to and knowing God's desire for us to walk in His commands of holiness, because there are consequences for not doing so. There are consequences for not doing so. Folks, no matter how things have been dumbed down in our world, where there are no consequences for wrongdoing, it is not the case with God. Let's turn this morning in our Bibles to Deuteronomy 28. And when we think about Deuteronomy, what do we think about? We think about God's laws refined and His will for Israel. Now, there is a difference. Again, we are not Israel. We are the church. And this is a different age that we're in. God still loves Israel. He has a program for Israel. But there are many similarities. And what God is telling Israel, He's giving them some general warnings, and He's giving them a compare and contrast and illustrations of two ways and the outcome when we are confused about obeying God's commands. So do I believe that all these things carry through exactly when God brought this to Israel? Well, maybe not exactly, but what we find in there are these directives are still applicable to God's people, even in the church age. And of course, the New Testament is reinforced with many teachings about this regarding sin, and that we ought not be confused about what God wants and what He does not want. And we know as well that blessings are connected to those things, and destruction is connected to those things as well. Permit us just a few minutes this morning to look into Deuteronomy 28. We can't cover the whole thing. It's a quite lengthy chapter. And again, this is just setting the foundations of what we will talk about with the roles and rules for the sexes that God has commanded in Scripture. But this is the warning that God gave to Israel, and it regards, once again, Israel's response to God and how they obeyed and how they lacked the confusion. If they lacked the confusion, how they would prosper under the hand of God. Some of these things we'll look at this morning will ring true today and will sound just like modern day, because really nothing's changed with people. We are still flesh and blood apart from Christ, and we struggle with obedience and with conformity to the ways that God would have us to go. And it shall come to pass, here, the writings here of Moses, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. God's desire for Israel was to be the apple of God's eye, that they would be the model, that they would be the perfect setting of a relationship between people and their God. the God of the Bible, that they would be the envy of the entire world. And again, that this would be something that would draw people to God and show once again who he was through his people. Now, we're not going to talk here about the United States necessarily in this today, but it's a principle that would go along with any nation where people live. If any group of people or nation will walk with God, God says he will prosper them. If we'll stay in the word, he told Joshua, and I'm paraphrasing here, if you'll stay right in the middle of my word, then you shall have prosperity and you shall have good success. I ask you today, do we as a nation have prosperity and good success? And the truth of the matter is, I would have to answer that question, absolutely not. But I do believe when nations nominally have walked under the rules and roles that God has designed for his for people, that there is a correlation between success and prosperity. And I'm not just talking about finances. There's a lot of people today that have pockets that are full. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about spiritual prosperity. And folks, we live in a nation and in a world today that is suffering from the effects of spiritual darkness. And it is soon going to be very apparent, and it will have detrimental effects in the lives of every person. But know this, that one who walks with God still has the promises of God and what he will do for the believer. My friends, again, America is $31 trillion in debt. By the things that I have seen, and by the way, though, I believe this, with God, nothing is impossible. America could be recovered today if people would turn to God. But apart from that, that debt is a debt we cannot pay. It is going to have effects. It is having effects on you even today and what is taking place. It's slow, but it is determined. The stones of justice grind slowly, but they continue to grind. And my friends, we face some critical issues. Most of us in these pews already are. There's a few people out there that are still prospering quite well financially, but folks, we are going to reap what's been sown. And we have not done it God's way. Verse 2, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field." In God's program, even the farmers prosper. That was meant as a joke. By the way, I'll say this, and this goes out over the air, and a lot of people won't like this. But there's plenty of farmers that are on welfare too and on government programs. But you know what? God's program will work without any of that. Yep. And that's what we need to do. But we need to be blessed. Blessed is what? Favored. And that is affordable to all of us today, no matter what the government does, through God. Let me tell you, God can prosper you in the worst of times. God can sustain you in the worst of times. God, when he is in control of your life, he will show you blessings and joy through no matter what you go through. Amen, right? Anyway, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, children. That's what he's talking about here. I'm just going to say, how many of us can say that our children are a blessing to us? Well, God tells us they are, and they are, but many times in our current environment of the confusion that we see, I don't know that our children are blessings, and maybe sometimes parents aren't blessings to children in our current environment either. I believe that's the case. "And the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of the cattle, the increase of thy cattle," or kine, it says here in the King James, "and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store." That's talking there about the grain for baking and the lump of dough that you have as a starter for the bread that you eat for our daily bread. What God is describing here for Israel is when you do it my way, you'll be blessed. "Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out." If you're like me when I was looking at this, God led me to this to be the foundational passage for the study on the sexes. He shows me every day saying, "John, look at what's going on around you and even in your life. You're missing out on my blessings. And people are missing out on my blessings because they are not doing it my way." Notice this in verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. We need to have God on our side. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, and as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. There it is, folks. It's that simple. God's message to Israel still transcends to us today as the church, as God's people. And again, Jesus is seen in the people. I question this today. Is Jesus seen in our lives? I have to admit to you fully that there may be times he is not seen in my life. Much of that is because of the things that we deal with in our world today. We find no joy in many of the things that we are involved with. But folks, through Jesus Christ, we can find joy. And we can be seen. He says here in verse 10, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by my name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. By the way, folks, you ever worry about things or what might happen? People can smell God on you. And God's protective hand will be upon you. God will take care of you through every day and all the way. Yep, God will take care of us. Anyway, you can read this, but I want to go down to verse 15 for just a minute here, and you could pick your way through this whole text today, and it'll ring true, and it'll show you, doing it God's ways are the ways of rightness. They're the ways of prosperity. But, he says, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Here it is. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. You know, I used to like to go into Chicago. We have a daughter that lives in Chicago, some grandchildren, so forth. Kim and I used to go there. We used to walk around freely, didn't we, Kim, when we were young and foolish in Chicago, downtown, at night, all kinds of things. Folks, our cities in America are not safe. We've seen this happen in the matter of the last 50 years or so, where there's always been things that have happened. But we now know that it is not safe in many places to go. We're under a curse, folks, because we failed to do it God's way. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy cattle and the flocks of thy sheep. You know, today, more than ever, in a great long time, there's more people that do not have children by choice, because they see children as an intrusion on the joy in their life and the prosperity in their life. Well, what God says is that they are a gift, and they are a blessing. But folks, today, when we're under this other side of how things work, when we get apart from God, and we don't believe that, we don't believe to go and be fruitful and multiply the earth, folks, these things turn around, and just the opposite happens. And that's what a lot of people think today. Don't have children because they're going to be nothing but trouble. Well, maybe they're right a little bit, but I still like trouble. I still love my children. Verse 19, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Well, God's telling us very plainly here. You can read the whole chapter, Deuteronomy 28. You know, it describes perfectly what happens when we fail and reject to do things the way that God would have us to do. I reference one last verse in there before we go on. Verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. In my Bible, that's capitalized. We need to fear God and respect, once again, the commandments that He has given us. America, the world around us, congregation at Fruitland Baptist Church, we need to turn to God. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But there needs to be repentance. Folks, these harms that have come into our land, these sins, they will not change until the Christians are the first to change. The Lord thy God. That's what it's all about. Well, anyway, as we conclude this today, we live in troubled times. No one doubts that today, do we? It's a picture of Deuteronomy 28, what God told Israel. We live in troubled times in our lives. We live in troubled times in our churches because of our neglect of God's ways. And folks, I can't tell it enough. Pastor John, it's sin. I struggle with sin. I know you do too. The two outcomes are destruction. That's the one. We can keep right on the path. That's both personally and nationally throughout our world. There's two paths. It's the one that leads to destruction, or one today that can be stopped and turned around, and that's called repentance. You know, God will work in our lives when we repent. Repent means to turn around, to acknowledge to God, I've been on the wrong path. Even as Christians, we need to acknowledge, it doesn't mean our salvation's affected, but our walk with God is. You know, sin is always going to separate us from God. It's going to make things ugly. When we fall into sin, it disrupts our fellowship with God the Father through His Son Jesus. There's two outcomes. It's destruction or repentance and reconciliation with the Lord. That's why there's verses like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, myself included, we need a cleanup job from God. We're like the little children. You know, Kim used to carry a washcloth for our kids when they were little. So when they got dirty, they could get cleaned up. Didn't you carry that, Kim? Oh, Kim used spit. Saliva. Yeah. It's called a spit bath. How many of us could admit, though, today we need to approach Jesus today? We need a spit. We've been cleaned. We've been born again, but we're struggling. You know, we've fallen into this trap of the preaching today that once you're saved, no matter what happens, and it's true, you won't lose your salvation, but you lose your fellowship with Jesus. You know, today's a day to turn to Him and say, I've had enough of this, Lord. I want to be cleaned up. I've got to confess this to You. I want to turn around. I need You to help me, Lord. I want to be the catalyst in my life, in my family, in my church, in the surrounding community, and in this world. I want to do it Your way. You know what? Jesus will hear that. Folks, I'm no prophet, but I believe this. This is the condition of our church and many churches today. People are dead because they reject the life that Jesus Christ will give us. Not just eternal life, but the good stuff day to day. If we'll come clean to Him. I'm glad there's verses like 1 John 1:9. And know this, that to those who have never trusted Jesus Christ or not in a personal walk with Him, He opens up the opportunity to believers to be cleansed and to be brought into a personal walk with Him. To be brought from darkness into light, new life in Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful today that there are verses like John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world, God loves people, that He gave a gift of His only unique or begotten Son, the God-man, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, the only person that could pay the sacrifice for the sins of man was a man who was perfect, and that had to be the God-man, Jesus Christ. Fully God and fully man. He came out of love and went to the cross for your sins and mine. Today, the door, He is the door. That door can be opened by you. If God's calling you today and you need to get back on track, respond. Because I like the other verse I've got written down here too. Romans 10:13, which says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be rescued, shall be delivered from the darkness, the path of destruction, to the path of light." Jesus is the light of the world. See, folks, this can all be fixed, and it can be started today if we'll respond. God has not let us down, folks. We've let God down. Both as Christians, and if you're here today as an unbeliever today, we've got to get this straightened out. It is important. People are watching us. God is watching us. Reconciliation with the Lord. And that is offered today freely to one today who has never trusted Jesus Christ and placed their faith and trust in Him, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe on Him and place our trust in Him, we will be saved. We will be rescued. If you have a question about that, you talk with me. Mention that briefly to me today as we close. We'll look at that further. But remember this, Jesus has compassion for you and I today. Why would you put up with someone like me, Lord? You know, He has compassion and help to get it right. He had it for Israel back in those days. By the way, Israel nominally did what? Forget you, God. We're doing it our way. He still has compassion for Israel, and He has it for us as well. Jesus in Matthew 9:36, when He looked at the nation of Israel before He went to the cross, He says, I'm paraphrasing again, He said, "I long to be like a hen with her chicks. You, Israel, as the chicks, to bring you under my wings of protection, but you would not." It broke Jesus' heart. And Romans 5:6-11, let's briefly go there as we close. Romans 5:6-11. Romans 5:6-11. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." Meaning this doesn't happen regularly, where someone lays down their life. But in this case, it was God in the flesh, Jesus, that laid down His life for my sin and your sin. "But God commendeth His love toward us," or demonstrated His love toward us, "that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We have been placed back together with the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciled to Him through the work of Jesus Christ, back in fellowship with God. So remember this, God has compassion for us today. Well, next time, God's roles and rules for the two sexes, and ladies first. And enjoy and ending with the men on Father's Day around 6:18. So we've got some work to do as we examine these roles, but this sets the foundation for it about the confusion. So in conclusion, and as we consider further the confusion over God's plan for us and our response to it, may we remember and ask ourselves if what we do brings glory to God. That's the test I want us to all go out of here with today. Am I bringing glory to God? Does it place others above ourselves and our wants and desires last? If this is not the case in your life and heart today, confusion reigns and destruction follows. Jesus is the answer to our needs of true satisfaction in our lives to the praise of His glory. Thank you today for your good attention. Amen. Let's stand this morning, 132 in our hymnals, The Old Rugged Cross. Stand if you're able. We're going to sing the first stanza of this hymn this morning. Again, this is a time when you could come forward publicly. Yeah, I want to get it right with Jesus. By the way, as I always say, I'm here because I need to be here. And I welcome you today, too. And we'll work together. We'll go to Jesus together about the things that you and I are struggling with in our life. But let's remember the old rugged cross. Jesus died. He bore the penalty of our sins because He loved us that much. Do you have that love in your life today? And if you have that love, is this a day that you maybe need to come to Him and repent and say, Lord, I want this turned around in my life. I'm not going to continue in this confusion. I want to be in Your perfect will. Folks, today's the day to come and do that. I'll dismiss us in prayer following that. I'll greet you at the door. Doug is going to lay out some things to the congregation in a very brief business meeting. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Let's pray together. Father God, we give thanks today for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the cross of Calvary. Lord, we know that You paid the ultimate penalty as You bore the sins of mankind out of love for us. We can't even understand that love fully, Lord. It doesn't even hardly ring true in our minds in the sense that we can't even comprehend it in our finite minds. But Lord, that kind of love for us, Lord, it must mean that we need to do things Your way if You cared that much about us to do that. Lord, we ought to really examine where we stand with You today. And I thank You today, Lord, that Your doors are always open to us. You're willing to wrap Your loving arms around us and say, I forgive. But Lord, we must ask for that forgiveness. We must repent and get it right, Lord, that we not cause further destruction, not only to ourselves, but to those around us. Father, thank You that You're willing to forgive. Now I pray for one that may be here today, Lord, who has never trusted You, is not in a personal walk with You, that once again today, Lord, this might be the day that You would call them and they would not be able to resist coming to You and being born again. Father, we acknowledge our world is filled with sin, but we thank You that Your life and Your way toward man is one that is filled with grace and mercy. Help us, Lord, to not reject that, but to get these things figured out that we might bring glory and honor to You. Now bless this group through the rest of this day, and also as we open our business meeting briefly. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You are dismissed.